following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation. Doug Duda with you on this Tuesday. My normal co-host on Tuesdays, Damon Day, is under the weather today. So we hope Damon feels good. Evidently, this flu thing is going around. I don't need any part of that. So there you go. Want to welcome Darren back home. There's a personal shout-out that we don't do a whole lot of on this show, but... how does that work? If they marry into the family, are they cousins, Jeff? Is there an official word on that?
Cousin-in-law?
Yeah. I'm just going to say, family. So welcome home, Darren. There you go. Ryder Cup gets underway this week, and the teams have arrived at Glen Eagles. I don't know how much I'll be watching. I'm going to watch as much as I can. Love it. United States, big underdog, so let's go win the darn thing. That'd be even better. Have the cup when you come home to home soil. Of course, it's always a half point tougher to win it when you don't have it, and that's what the Americans will need to do here. The Kansas City Royals, a unique day yesterday. You know what? They almost pulled out the suspended game. You got that leadoff man on, but left the tying run, stranded on second, and lost 4-3. In the completed game of the completion of the suspended game, and then the regular game, Danny Duffy pitching, getting his first win in over a month. Of course, last outing he left against the Yankees after just the one pitch with the arm soreness. Came back, wasn't overly sharp. I mean, bases loaded, nobody out in the first, and then the Royals got out of the jam with some pitching there from Duffy. Bottom line is they win it 2-0. Detroit loses 2-0, and Seattle gets crushed. So the Royals pick up ground on everybody that they need to. Oakland hanging in there. So right now, the Royals, if it ended today, would have to play a wild card game at Oakland on the road because they're still a half game back. Is that the full game back? Full game back right now of Oakland. But they're 2.5 up. Two up on Seattle, and they're one back of Detroit. And again, if by some minor miracle here that they could beat Detroit or get ahead of Detroit, then they don't have to play the wild card. They're guaranteed a five-game series. So that's what we're looking at there. So the Royals win it 2-0 yesterday, and the Blue Jays thump the Mariners by a score of 14-4. Detroit lost by a score of 2-0 in the significant baseball games yesterday. Royals in Cleveland, 6:05 tonight on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. So that's what's going on there. Monday Night Football, I have not figured out the New York Jets. This is you know what, since we got just a couple of minutes here, Jeff, if you could pull out our predictions from the NFL, what we did before this season, because Daryl Morris is going to join us here in about 5 minutes, UNK head football coach. Then we're going to talk with Hastings College football coach Tony Harper. Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, he's going to join us today. He was ready to go yesterday, and then we had the Amaro situation, bringing in a brand-new basketball recruit for the Huskers, and with Rosenthal being the beat writer for basketball, he had to go follow the Edward Morrow story, so he's going to join us today. We're going to talk about the Nebraska basketball recruiting class, where the Huskers are through four games, in his opinion, and also the really neat article about Alex Gordon in the Lincoln Journal Star that he wrote on Sunday, spending some time down there as they try to make the playoffs. And also, we've got a couple of fundraisers coming up, Lizzie Stratton Run. We're going to tell you more about that at the end of the program, because that's coming up on Sunday as well. But getting back to the National Football League, I'm not sure how good the Jets are, and that was one of the reasons at the beginning of the season I didn't pick the Jets to make the playoffs, because I just didn't know. I thought Miami could get in, and they looked good in week one. Now they're setting at 1-2. But I have to be fairly pleased with some of the predictions early on here. Patriots, Bengals, Colts, Broncos, wild cards, Houston and Miami. Miami's the only one that looks a little sketchy right now out of that. And in the NFC, Eagles, Lions, Seahawks, and then the Saints, but I'm not crazily worried there. And then my wild cards, the Bears and the Cardinals. I really like where that's at. The problem is they're too good right now, because there's no way that 10 or 11 of these 12 picks are going to come through. That's just not the way it works. Somebody that's going to be 1-3 or 2-5 is going to make a run at the end of the season and get in, and we'll see how it goes. Jimmy Langan had similar picks to what I've got. He's got the Chargers in there, and right now they look a little bit better than the Dolphins in the wild card race early on. His Tampa pick is the one that smells a little bit right now, and he's got the 49ers and Cardinals as his wild card. So you just kind of look at what everybody's got right now on their sheet, and I think our local prognosticators are doing a little bit better than our national prognosticators as of this time. So we'll see how it all plays out. Just something fun to kind of look at and see how things break down in the NFL. A couple of other sports notes. Man, I should have talked more about this yesterday. I'm going to be point-blank honest. I didn't realize the overall severity of the Danny Woodhead injury, or we would have talked about it yesterday. But, you know, one of the truly great guys in football. And if you get a chance, check out some of the San Diego Charger websites. Woodhead was selected by Coach Mike McCoy to speak to the team. He always has somebody speak to the team in the final meetings the night before the game. And Woodhead was the choice on Saturday. And all of the teammates say, you know, this was a way better than average speech. You know, enjoy the moment. You never know when it's going to be the end, if it's your last year, your last game. I mean, it was. And then it's eerie, because what happens the next day is he breaks his leg, busted up ankle, and he is out for the season. So hopefully a recovery. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's quick. You just want it to be right, because they've ruled him out for the year, and hopefully he'll be back and better for 2015. But you hate to see that, so there you go. And also, interesting, I don't know if this would play out if it was in a different spot than Lincoln, Nebraska, but we had Bo Pelini's press conference yesterday, and Amir Abdullah was asked about Jameis Winston and what's going on at Florida State. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't realize that both of them grew up and were acquaintances, trained together at the same gym back in the Birmingham, Alabama area. And Abdullah said he considers Winston a friend, but says he needs to kind of grow up, clean up his act, saying he lacks maturity and needs to understand how he presents himself has consequences. So I'm sure if this was a national mecca, and I'm not so sure that this still won't be picked up on a little bit with Amir Abdullah. And today, I think we'll have the update on ESPN's Heisman Trophy voting. They do that every Tuesday, and we'll talk more about that as the week progresses. Again, Abdullah was eighth last week, and after another great performance, and this one on television, we'll see what happens. I think bottom line is, if he can continue to have great performances on national television, like the ESPNs, like the ABCs, anywhere else that he may end up, I'm not talking Big Ten Network, I'm not talking CBS Sports, where you have to really want to watch the game to turn it on, he's going to get more opportunities there in the Heisman Trophy voting. But still a lot of season to go there, and we'll see how it all plays out. Hey, don't forget, UNK volleyball team is at home tonight. There's a lot of high school volleyball in the area as well. But as far as UNK, that's a 6 o'clock start time tonight, which is earlier than normal against Emporia State. So if you get a chance, go out and check out the Lopers. We'll have a lot more tomorrow on our Loper Link. Coach Brady Bonzel, cross country, their season is underway. He'll be chatting with us. And the basketball schedules are out, and we'll talk a lot more about that tomorrow. And, of course, Wednesday is our Husker Lunch at Cunningham. Sean Callahan of Husker Online will be on hand to answer all your questions, talk Big Red football. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, will join us tomorrow on the show as well. But as we do every Tuesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show, we like to catch up with UNK and Hastings College football coaches Daryl Morris and Tony Harper. And Daryl Morris is up first, as usual, on this Tuesday. And, Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time.
Good morning.
How's the grease board looking for you right now?
Well, there's a lot of stuff written up on it right now. Yeah.
I mean, we always have some lighthearted conversations, especially when it's off the air. But business is not going well for you right now. But, again, there was the but when you guys were making the playoffs, when you were doing things very well.
Right.
And now there's a lot of good things that we want to focus on, but you have an extreme need here at offensive line. Let's start there. You know, everybody wants to pay attention to what's going on in Lincoln. 2 weeks ago, that was a story. Your star running back calls them out, says we need to do better, and they did. This doesn't seem like it's a lack of effort. What happens to be going on in your eyes with the O-line?
Well, the O-line, in our system, our quarterback makes all our protection calls. So some of the issues that we had early in the ball game against Missouri Southern, where we were getting a fair amount of pressure, were basically we were in the wrong protection, and that comes back to the quarterback position. It's been that way forever. He was sliding his protection, but he was sliding it the wrong way, which was basically taking one of the uncovered linemen and sending him in a direction that he did not need to go, where there was nobody really to block him, and leaving a couple guys free on the edge. So some of it comes back to just us making sure that at that spot we're making the correct checks, and that we're sliding the line the right way, and that we're in the proper protection, and we're still learning that. We're still learning how to do that.
Daryl, because you got to tell me as much as anybody else, as you're going through practice, how much is that paid attention to? How much do you work on that?
We run a blitz pickup deal every day, but practice is practice, and games are games, and kids, you know, get antsy and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we're still trying to get Bronson to where he's looking at things the right way and understands what he's looking at, and he will. He'll be better this week. We'll get it done. And, that happens a lot of times. Some people have the center make those calls, and a lot of people have the quarterback make those calls, and that's what with the system that we use here is a quarterback does that.
I hate asking these questions, but I know it's a question that is out there, so I'll ask you this question. I haven't seen on the stat sheet where you've questioned or have subbed out for Bronson. Is there a competition again?
Not right now. Bronson's our best quarterback. He gives us the best chance of winning. We think he's a good quarterback. We just got to get him to continue to develop and grow and play. And we need some kids to make some plays for him and get him some confidence. And we're trying to do some things. We are tweaking some things. We're trying to take things off his plate that he doesn't have to keep track of and put it on the coaching staff a little bit more. So we're adjusting things a little bit to try to match up with Bronson's skill level and his ability to handle things mentally. And hopefully this week we'll be able to do that for him.
Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to flying solo on today's program anyway. Coach, a lot of preseason publicity, as it should have been, on Cole Manhart, and Pete Trausch is right there getting some interest as well. How are they handling this?
I think they're handling it really well. I mean, they're neither one of them are ego guys. We've had we've probably had 15 or 18 scouts in already through this early part of the season, and I imagine there'll be more to come, but I think both of them are handling it very well. They're both very team-oriented guys, and they want the football team to do well. They want the offensive line to play well, so I don't think it's having any kind of an impact on them, to be honest with you.
We're talking with Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. So we'll put this one to rest. Well, what are you doing in practice this week, and are there changes that you make as to what you're trying to do?
Well, the changes that we're making I don't think would be visible to the fan watching the game from the stands. But, again, we are trying to minimize some of the things that Bronson Marsh, our quarterback, has to think about. You know, we are trying to put a little bit more pressure on the coaching staff to make some of the decisions during the game time and from play to play for him. So we're going to do some things that will alleviate some of that. We're going to probably reduce the field down to half for him and just give him half a field to read through a progression. So we're trying to help him out a little bit mentally, get him some confidence going, have some success early. Obviously, we need the running game to go, but we got to get the passing game to go so that the running game can go as well. So they both complement each other. So hopefully some of the things we are doing will allow Bronson to just play more and not be paralyzed thinking all the time.
If for anybody that pays attention to the Lopers on the website, in the newspaper, the television interviews, you continue to praise, and you've done it here the last couple of weeks with your defense. But as you said, when time of possession is 39-21, the only way you got a chance is if the defense is scoring touchdowns, and that's why you wouldn't have the ball as much. Tell me your thoughts on the defense as they were out there all day.
I think the defense played very well. They made the offense that they were playing against very difficult to defend. They really get you thinking about the run, and then they run a guy by you. So they had a couple guys open. One time, I think the kid probably dropped a touchdown. Another time, he actually caught the touchdown. But for the most part, I think our defense, especially in the first half, has played very well against Northwest Missouri, against Washburn, against Missouri Southern. And it's only in the second half, when we go back to some of our depth issues that we still have here, that we begin to play a little less effectively on defense. The offense we were playing against on Saturday is a pound and ground type of offense, and it's a physical type of offense. They got two heavies running the football back there, and you spend 40 minutes of the game on the field in that kind of heat with limited numbers. It's just not going to work out for you well.
Darryl Morris with us for a couple more minutes talking to Loper football. Everybody wants to get off and get the wins and get them in the column. And I guess maybe I go back to this. It's not the little things like it used to be with some penalty problems. Didn't have that problem. It seemed you guys didn't give up in the fourth quarter when you were way down. All those intangibles that have kind of bit the Lopers on the backside over the years aren't the problem this year. So you're at practice, you're 0-3, you're hitting the road this week. Tell me what the team psyche
well,
is like.
Well, you know, Doug, here's and this, and even our fans are going to have to come to the realization of the situation that we're in. This is a process that we're going through, and on Sunday when I visit with our football team, I use this analogy. We're like a woman who is pregnant and having a baby, and that sounds kind of weird, but you know, the birthing process is a process, and it's also a painful process, and we're going through a painful process in our football program right now. If you're just measuring our development and measuring our success by wins and losses, it appears that we're not making any headway. But if you go back and look at the way we're losing games compared to what we did the first year and the second year when we were in this league, there's a dramatic difference. The level of athleticism, there's a dramatic difference. The pain is no less. It's still painful. It's painful for me. It's painful for our players. It's painful for the other coaches. And it's painful for our fans. But it is a process, and it's going to take time to go through the process. It takes 9 months to have a baby. It's going to take us several years to get this football program up on the same level as some of these people we're playing.
We've talked about Tyke Kojal numerous times, but now he's leading. He's leading the conference by a long way in tackles, and I know it's only three games, but there are bright spots, and he's definitely one of them.
He is one of them. Tyke's a great player. He's a great team guy. He's a good leader. He's solid in special teams for him. We lean on Tyke Kojal a lot to the point where we're constantly trying to find ways to get him off the field sometimes so he can actually get a rest. But right now we haven't been able to find that way. So he's still playing a lot of football for us, and he's doing an outstanding job.
Well, Central Missouri on the road, Warrensburg, they're sitting at 1-2. Tell me a little bit about what they bring.
Well, you know, I think Central Missouri is probably a football team that saw themselves as being an MIAA contender. As a matter of fact, I know they do. They've got to be a little downtrodden because they are sitting there at 1-2, and they're effectively out of the conference race, as we are. So, they might be a little bit of a wounded football team, ego-wise maybe, and maybe even a little unmotivated, I hope. But they're very solid. They're very athletic. They're a team that had us 56-0 at one time last year. We're playing them on the road. We beat them one year on the road down there, so we know we can do it. And we actually did it with a less talented football team than we presently have right now. So, you know, we're going down expecting to win the football game. We're going to be challenged. They're athletic. They got a bunch of them on both sides of the ball. They've got two great return guys in the kicking game, which make you a little nervous. So, you know, we're going to try to avoid getting them the ball as much as possible. But it's going to be a challenge, but it's another opportunity for us to move this football program forward.
Well, they've got the leading rusher in the conference so far, too. Now, I'm guessing that their offense doesn't look like what you saw last week, but they're going to want to run the ball.
They're going to want to, they're more balanced, obviously, than, I mean, Missouri Southern's at one end of the spectrum. They're going to be more like Washburn, more like Northwest Missouri. They're going to run and throw. They're going to try to trick you with formations, so there's a lot of formations to pay attention to. Multiple guys in the backfield sometimes, so, you know, they're just going to try to line up and move people around and make it difficult for you with their formations, but they're going to run and pass equally.
Finally, Coach, just staying on the positive side, because there were so many tackles in that ball game. I know we had more than just Tyke on this side. You got Devontae LaFleur. You got the local boy in Matt Bowman. Josh Papa's a David City kid. Jack Wardine. There's another kid that's just everything you'd want in a football player. But a couple of names there that are stepping up that maybe we didn't read the first couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, Jack Wardine's played very outstanding football for us, and Matt's been very, very good. And Sam Stoltenberg has been a pleasant addition to that group of guys inside. He's just a young player. But I still think the guys in the secondary are doing an outstanding job for the most part. They've been pretty solid. We've given up some touchdown throws here and there, but who doesn't? I mean, that's going to happen to you if you play in the secondary long enough. That's going to happen. But we're just playing good defense. So we could play better. I want us to play better. But right now, I think there's certainly the strong part of our football team.
Well, Daryl, we always appreciate the chat. We wish you the best of luck down at Central Missouri, and we'll do it again next Tuesday. Have some fun this week.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, see you. They're going through a tough time right now in Loperland. I know that they feel that second half was probably a step backwards from the way things went on Saturday because they played good football the first 2 weeks. Probably should have beat Washburn. That's obviously the look from this side. I'm sure Washburn feeling that they were the team that should have won the game, and they did. And for a half, the Lopers were right here, but Southern had 27 second-half points and took out a little frustration on the Lopers and won that one. But you're going to have the leading tackler in the conference against the leading rusher in LaVance Taylor. So LaVance Taylor against Tyke Kojal should be a heck of a matchup this Saturday. And the kickoff is set down for 1:30. Central Missouri is located in Warrensburg, Missouri. So we will take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Tony Harper will talk Hastings College football as they get ready for homecoming after this.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? It's all here at your Complete Nutrition store. Sometimes it's a short-term fix you need. Ladies, get ready to rock that hideous bridesmaid dress. Yup, it's 2 weeks away and it's sleeveless. Good thing there's Trim 10, a quick 10-day solution to help you lose that last 5 to 10 pounds of water weight fast. Get Trim 10 only at your Complete Nutrition store. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll have rain showers likely with a high near 73. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low near 57. For Wednesday, partly sunny, a slight chance of storms with a high near 80. Currently, it's 59.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. It is Chevy Truck Month with supplier pricing on Silverado 1500 LTs and the double cab, the crew cab, are all there for you. You get customer cash plus supplier pricing, $500 in bonus cash, and $1,500 trade assist. And if you're looking at the Silverado 2500 or 3500 regular or crew cab, you're getting $4,500 customer cash plus bonus cash and a $1,500 trade assist. You'll also get 0% for 72 months, and Tahoe and Suburbans are $2,500 customer cash plus a $2,000 bonus cash and 0% for 60 months. If you're a Chevy guy or a Chevy gal, don't miss out on Chevy Truck Month during September at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney. ThinkMidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. Also, because of the weather today, a high school change here for you. The York softball triangular today, which involves Grand Island Central Catholic, has been moved to Grand Island at the Vets Complex because the fields are playable there and will start at 4:30. So we pass along that note. It's time to welcome in the head football coach of the Hastings College Broncos, Tony Harper, whose team was a play away from maybe cracking the top 25, and that's how this business goes. A 28-24 tough loss to rival Doan. And Coach, solid game. I thought you guys played well, but somebody has to get the W and somebody has to get the L. I know that's not what you want to hear, but your assessment of what you saw after looking at film.
You know, I think you hit it right there on the head. It was probably more than just one play, but it was just a handful of plays. And, you know, credit to Doan and their players by finishing the game. And you know, after watching the film and soaking it up and stewing on it a little bit, we realized that, okay, we did this for basically three quarters, but that fourth quarter we didn't finish. We didn't do our job against our man, and obviously they came out on top. We just got to make sure we do every play like it's the last play. There was opportunities in all three phases of it, and we just got to limit those mistakes and make better plays.
Biggest difference, and why you got off to, for the fans, 21 of the points. It's 21-14 after one. This looks like a 72-69 ball game, and it doesn't end up that way. But what so significantly and drastically changed you offensively, Doan defensively, from the first quarter and a half to what we saw the last two and a half quarters?
I think what had happened was, you know, we talked about it as the coaches' staff, and the offensive coaches brought it up, and they're doing a great job. But I think there was that point in the third quarter that they made, you know, a few adjustments. They brought in a fourth D line, played some too high stuff, made us do some different things. We were still able to move the ball. I don't know. I mean, we had a couple drives of 10-plus plays. We just weren't able to put it in, and they were able to, you know, when their backs were against the wall, they made a couple plays. And that's kind of what happened in that third quarter. It was a 0-0 third quarter, and, you know, they just made a few more. And we kind of got, you know, a little complacent, a little, all right, guys, now we're moving it from the 10-yard line all the way down to the 20-yard line. We know we're going to get this in, but we didn't really step up and make that next play that we needed to play. And, you know, and they did. And again, credit to those guys. And that's something that we got to make sure, and we've said it on air a lot, you know, we got to keep our foot on the gas pedal. We got to keep going because there's nothing to gimme. The other teams out there, too, they're trying to win and beat you on every play, too. So, we got to make sure every play it's at our optimum speed, and we know exactly where we're going with it.
Special teams, your assessment?
You know, their kicker Peterson got Conference Player of the Week, and you know they had the nation's I think top return man. Their cover unit was one of the better ones in the nation. I think they were nationally ranked 2. I thought Coach Kamara had a great game plan with those guys, with kicking away from him and changing that up. I thought our cover units were good. You know, we can't, when we go to kick a field goal, we can't lose points off the board. I mean, that field goal block for them was a big momentum turner. You know, we were down there on the 4-yard line, and I decided to go for that, and we got to be able to get those points anytime we're in that red zone. So we got to make sure we clean that up. But their punter, I mean, he had a day. I mean, he punted it where it needed to be, didn't really allow us to get a lot of return yards on that. There were some corner kicks that he did a great job with. You know, so those things I thought we did okay with. The big concern is we put the ball on the ground a couple times on our kickoff return and on our punt return. We just got to say, hey, when I'm fielding that ball, this is my ball, and I'm going to hold on to it. So we got to work our ball security a little bit this week with that.
540 yards to 344. I know this is a game you guys felt like you should have won, so that means a lot of things were positive.
You're exactly right. I mean, you go back to a year ago, you know, they put up over 60 points. We put up 7, so we drastically changed that. You know, a couple plays here, a couple plays there. This team is getting to that point where we got to expect to win, but we can't expect the other team to just kind of lay down. And I've seen a lot of growth from this team. The biggest thing that I saw from the guys, and I know this may be a small thing, but we're riding back from Crete, and not a word was said on the bus. The guys, I think we're reflecting on what had happened, realizing that we were, you know, a couple plays away from doing a lot of good things. Again, credit to Doan. Their guys made the plays. They did a great job schematically and everything like that. But I think our guys now realize, hey, this is a pretty darn good football team, but we got to put 4 quarters together. For example, defense gave up 21-14, whatever it was in the first half, 21 points in the first half. We give up only 7 in the second half. Well, we got to be able to do that in both halves, you know, and that's something that we got to work on, the consistency in every play getting better.
Tony Harper, head football coach, Hastings College, with us for another couple minutes. I'm curious, Coach, once you address the team after the football game, you said the bus is quiet. I imagine any of the coaches could get on and say something when you get on the bus. Is that the last time you really say anything to the team, win, lose, or draw, until film the next day?
It really is. It really is, because in my philosophy with that, I don't want, because I'm kind of an emotional guy, I don't want my emotions to be completely way off from what happened on the field. I want to be able to watch the film Sunday morning before I say to the guys, hey, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, we got to do this, we got to do that. Or on the flip side of it, hey, we're great in this, we're great in that, where you really don't know, because you know, the bullets are flying and the balls are flying all over the place. And what we've really tried to do is calm down, let the guys soak it up. If they need to talk, want to talk, hey, that's great, you know, because this is still a team and everything. But we really don't mention a whole lot until Sunday morning. And that's why I think this team, and I've said it a lot this year, this early part of the season, they're getting it. You know, they're understanding what's going on now. We got a big task, big challenge this weekend, but we got to put that thing in the burner and go on and get better now.
Well, Dakota Wesleyan comes in. It's homecoming. Sure. Talk to me about Dakota Wesleyan. Again, we talked about Concordia being a team that has been on the rise lately, and I guess Dakota Wesleyan is too.
They really are. And Coach Simple, who played at Sioux Falls, was a coordinator at Dakota West, and now he's the head coach up there. He's a good guy. He is a good man, and now I'm going to say that because he's a defensive guy, so I'm kind of favorite to those guys. But he's got those kids playing hard. I mean, they had a great season last year. He was probably a game away from going to playoffs. He's the conference coach of the year. This year they were in the top 15 last week. I don't know where they're at right now, but What they do is they hand that football off, and it's been like this for about 4 or 5 years now, and their running back is always in the top five in the nation. They're big and physical up front. Their defense don't do a bunch of different things. They just play harder and faster than the other team, and their special teams is really good too. I mean, he's done a great job, and that's a great place to be. It's a great town, and he's really gotten a lot out of those guys.
Well, give me some X's and O's. What makes them special?
Well, they do a good job with the zone read. You know, and that quarterback, he's an athletic type of guy, kind of in the mold of a Vaughn Thomas at Concordia. Their tailback is physical. He's rushed for, 300 yards. It seems like every year we play him. So that's what they do really well up front. Defensively, their linebackers are downhill. They get their fit. They're physical. They will pop you in the mouth. The thing that they do really good is they're not so much attacking full man. They attack half man, so they're always running that hoop really well. And then their special teams, they'll always have a fake, a trick play, or something that really makes you focus on that during the week, kind of take your mind off other things, kind of catch you. So they're in all three phases. They do a really good job.
Tony Harper, homecoming this weekend as well. I know there's Hall of Fame induction ceremonies and everything that goes along with that. Does any comment?
Well, I got some comments for it. You know, the thing with these guys, they do a really good job here. They understand that we got practice, we got meetings and things like that. I think our guys are focused, especially what happened last week. Our guys should be hungry and really focused on the task at hand. You know, a great thing's happening this weekend is the 54 team is coming back, who is the last undefeated or the only ever undefeated team here in the history of Hastings College, and that says something because there's been a lot of great football teams come through here. So I'm hoping to get those guys to come out and talk a little bit to us on Friday and maybe be on the sideline on Saturday. But, you know, at the end of the day on Saturday at 1 o'clock, there's a football game, and we plan to be there and hopefully put on a good show for everybody that's coming back.
Well, let's get a win because you got a good football team so far showing here in the month of September. So we'll talk next Tuesday, and Tony, always appreciate it, man.
Well, thanks for the call. Y'all have a good day.
Take care. Tony Harper, Hastings College, 2-1, tough loss, shut out in the second half of their game with Doan and fell 28-24. But if you get a chance, check it out. I know the Lopers obviously out of town. Huskers play so late. I mean, you could hit both games if you want. Hastings College, they could use your help. Big game for them against Dakota Wesleyan on Saturday. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, but as you get ready for lunch, don't forget the Kearney Chicken Coop. A lot of places say they're sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop, and they want to save you a little money. Every lunch day, 11 to 4. Tuesday, the lunch special is a salad and soda for just $7. Get the salad that you want. You get a taco salad, crispy chicken salad, grilled chicken salad. So many on the menu to choose from. You get the one that you like. And, of course, appetizer specials and long necks and draws between 2 and 5:30 are just $2.25 each. Only at the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. The best of both worlds, downtown Kearney. A lot going on. Go in, watch the Royals and Indians tonight. Pick what you want to watch. Maybe you're a Dodger fan, Giants fan, Pirates fan. They're all there in the pennant race. Yeah, maybe you're a Detroit fan. Whatever the case, check it out at the Chicken Coop. When we come back, we are going to talk with Brian Rosenthal of the Lincoln Journal Star after this.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
It's third down and six, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. Five.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Tuesday. Glad you're along with us. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Asked you yesterday about the overtime rule in the NFL. Keep it as it is. Go back to the old way, or each team should be guaranteed a possession. This is a little bit closer than I thought it would be. 54% said keep it as it is. 46% said each team should be guaranteed a possession. I laughed this morning. I don't know if it was Schefter or Mort or which one it was on Mike and Mike this morning. He said, you know, if this had happened to Jake Locker instead of Peyton Manning, would we even be talking about it? And it's so, so true. Thanks for voting at ESPNSuperstation.com. Right now, we ask you which NFL team will be the last undefeated team. Hard to believe that there's only three 3-0s. Now, of course, the Bengals and Cardinals both have a bye this week, so the pressure's on the Eagles as they go out to the 49ers, and the 49ers got some pressure on them. I'm almost imagining that's going to be it for the Eagles, but if they get by that, they have home games with the Rams and Giants, which are definitely winnable. So do you got the Bengals, whose next game in 2 weeks is at the Patriots, the Cardinals, whose next game is in 2 weeks at the Broncos, or the Eagles? The interesting thing here is if the Eagles win this week, that would be my choice. You vote now. Which NFL team will be the last undefeated team? The Cardinals will not beat the Broncos. That's my pick. Bengals could beat the Patriots, and then they get the Panthers and Colts. They've got a tough, tough road. So I'm going to be crazy and take the Bengals. I don't know why, because that's who I picked to go to the Super Bowl. Vote now on our Midtown Mart cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, I hope you got a chance to read the Lincoln Journal Star every day, but especially the weekend edition, not only to see the great coverage of the Miami game and the history and all that, but to see the article on Alex Gordon. And there's a lot more to talk about today with Brian Rosenthal of the Lincoln Journal Star, and he joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brian, thanks for the time. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Yesterday, busy at this time. I want to start there with basketball. Tim Miles doing the Tim Miles thing over the weekend and his appearance. They said that he even lost one of his recruits when he was taking pictures with folks after the game. But he picks up a big one here in Edward Morrow. How big is this pickup?
Well, it's arguably the number one target they had in this recruiting class. And it's a position of need, too. I mean, they need athletic, rebounding-type guys, especially if somebody like Teron Pettaway would declare early. So, you know, it feels a need, but it's just kind of a perception thing. I mean, Ed Morrow is a highly ranked recruit, 62, I believe, by ESPN, top 150 by other recruiting services, 4 stars, the whole bit. So it's a perception thing, too. I'm not one to say 4 stars necessarily makes him that great of a basketball player, but he is a good basketball player, and people do eat up the recruiting services and stuff like that. So from a perception standpoint, it's good, but he's also a great kid. I mean, he's the type of kid that Tim Miles will recruit and go after, high character, great to talk to and interview and visit with over the phone. And his mom and dad are former Husker athletes. I don't actually think that played as huge of a role in the process is what some people may think. I mean, he was very, very much considering going to Iowa, but the connection there is also nice to have as well.
Yeah, his dad was a linebacker for that Husker team that won the 94 national championship. Brian, I remember talking, three years ago now, about Doc Sadler having trouble getting in to the AAU circuit and getting some of these top-notch recruits, and that there's a whole ESPN 30 for 30 they could do on that deal. But Tim Miles has not seemed to have that problem.
No, and I believe the staff he's hired and those coaches have really helped in that regard. You know, Kenya Hunter has those connections, and he was the lead recruiter around Ed Morrow. So, and it's also another kid from Illinois with Glenn Watson, the point guard, also from the AAU circuit and from Illinois, which is obviously a big recruiting hotbed. So two of Nebraska's three kids in the 15 recruiting class are from the state of Illinois. So, you know, that's good too. And Glenn Watson's also a top 100, top 150 type of kid. I'm not for sure how many stars he has, but also on the AAU circuit. So, yeah, it's a place the staff has been able to tap into and be successful with so far.
It's hard to believe that two seasons ago when Tim took over, we were talking about it possibly being the worst program or the worst team that Nebraska was going to put on the floor. It didn't end up being that way, and what a couple of years it's been. We all know about it. So now the expectations, to me, seem so over the top. I mean, it's great that they are looked at as a top 25 team, which they might be, but to in 2 years be thinking you went from worst to first, is it possible?
It's possible. Obviously, Wisconsin's the team to beat in the Big Ten, but there's a lot of other question marks with the other teams in the Big Ten as well. You know, the thing with Nebraska and Tim Miles will be, you know, how do they handle these expectations? And I already talked to Teron Fedaway about this last week, and he's just shaking his head and calling it BS. And he's like, it's the same people who picked us last in the Big Ten last year. We didn't pay attention to it then. We're not paying attention to this now. They just want to play basketball games and go out and win. And that's a good idea to have, a good way to approach it. But, you know, it's got to be in the back of their heads a little bit with the pressure and the expectations and everything. And that'll be the storyline of the year, is how Tim and his staff and his players handle those expectations. But I thought we got a good test of that last year when Nebraska got put in the spotlight late in the season. You know, they went on the road and beat Michigan State, and everybody immediately thought to pass Nebraska basketball teams that have gone on the road and or had a big win and then had the big letdown. And, you know, people didn't want to get their hopes up. But they survived that test, I thought. They played well at the end of the year. Of the end of the regular season anyway, before the two big stage losses in the Big Ten tournament and then the NCAA tournament. But I thought they handled the expectations well last year just to get to the NCAA tournament. So they have some experience in handling that. But, yeah, that'll be the storyline of the year, to see how they handle it with the target on their back, because the other Big Ten teams are definitely not going to take Nebraska lightly, like some of them obviously did last year. You know, a couple of the teams and players probably admitted that. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle those expectations this year.
Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's switch gears. Just your thoughts as you watched the Nebraska-Miami game. I think if you're media in the state of Nebraska, there was a different sense in watching that game.
Yeah, it had a different feel to it. Part of that was the crowd and the energy in the stadium, which I hadn't seen it like that in several years, actually, and night games helped in that regard. But I think the opponent and the history there also helped. And then Nebraska played well. You know, the defense gave up some yards, but I thought Miami's skill position players, you know, the freshman quarterback was good, and receivers made some really good catches. The tight end was a guy who could have gone to the NFL last year and came back for his senior year. So, you know, some of that was I thought Miami playing well offensively, but you know, Nebraska still has some issues, I think, maybe at linebacker and in coverage in particular. But, you know, the offense, what else can you say? I mean, with Amir Abdullah and Tommy Armstrong, a 1-2 punch in the rushing attack. And I thought the game plan was great. That's what they should do most of the time, I think, is run the ball and throw not as often. I think Tommy only threw 13 times, completed 9, and they were efficient in that regard. And So, I was impressed overall with the performance.
Brian, just kind of following up on that, the offense has been putting up points in the first four games. Are they that good? How much of it is the teams that they've played? And will we truly know until next week with Michigan State?
Yeah, that'll be a big test, but I think that'll be the big test. I think they're probably as good as advertised. I think the offensive line, you know, they've not given up any sacks and not many tackles for loss for that regard, but I think you've got to give Amir Abdullah credit also for, you know, bouncing off would-be tacklers in the backfield. I still think the offensive line can improve and do better. And as you said, in East Lansing, a week from Saturday, will be the biggest test of the year. But I still think with Amir Abdullah and Tommy Armstrong, it's a tough two-headed monster to stop in the rushing game. And it all depends, I think, on how Tommy handles himself in the passing game, making the right decisions. You know, there is another really ugly interception. The two interceptions he's thrown this year have been, you know, really ugly plays, I thought. So, you know, he's got to avoid those. And, that probably will be the key to Nebraska's success offensively, is how Tommy Armstrong handles himself in the passing game and in some big situations, because I think we know what we're going to get as you watch in Amir Abdullah. He's the real deal. So I think it probably relies on Tommy Armstrong in the passing game to see how successful they can be against teams of Michigan State stature.
By the way, we talked about this earlier in the show. For the folks that have tuned in, ESPN puts out their expert poll on the Heisman, and Amir was seventh last week. He moves up to fourth this week, and really the top three, they dropped Jameis Winston out of there completely. But so Amir gaining ground here. And I guess, Brian, the last football question here, I think, before we move on to the Alex Gordon story, is four games in, Your thoughts and expectations and questions that you had before the season, how have they changed now after the non-conference?
I wouldn't say dramatically. I had Nebraska going 11-1 in regular season with the loss at Michigan State, but, you know, winning at Wisconsin, winning at Iowa, I still feel confident about the Iowa game. Wisconsin, still don't quite have a good read on them. They looked really, really good last week, I guess, against Bowling Green, judging by the stats and the score. Some struggles earlier in the year. I still wonder about them at quarterback. I still think it's a game Nebraska can win, but that'll be a tough one. So Nebraska's won the games I thought they would. I still think McNeese State is a better team than a lot of people give them credit for. If they were, Nebraska dropped seven spots for beating that team, but I'm telling you that McNeese State team could beat a lot of teams in the lower half of the FBS. I don't think that's as glaring is what people want to make it out to be. So I think the offense has probably exceeded my expectations a little bit. Defense maybe not meeting the expectations that I thought. I thought they might be a little bit more dominant, but all in all, I'm not going to change any of my predictions based on what I've seen in the first four games.
A couple minutes left here with Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star. One of the main reasons that we wanted to talk with Brian was got a chance to go down to Kansas City and maybe write a story on a MVP-type candidate in Alex Gordon, who everybody has loved since the days he was playing high school baseball back in Lincoln. And this wasn't an interview with Alex. This was more of an interview with a lot of the people that are around him. How has your opinion, if at all, changed by what you were around for a couple of days last week?
Well, I don't think it has. I mean, we all know Alex to be a really hard worker, extremely focused. And, you know, I visited with Alex a little bit, but in true Alex form, he was pretty focused and, didn't have necessarily a lot to say, which was fine. I kind of knew that going in. And the idea, as you said, was to talk to a lot of people about Alex. And I found it interesting how they're really using him as the model for what they want their minor leaguers and other guys in the organization to be as they come through the system. And, you know, Lane Adams is one of those guys that is really a protege to Alex, and it's just kind of interesting to hear everybody talk about his strict regimen and routine and how consistent he is. And once he gets on the baseball field or in the clubhouse or just basically in the ballpark, how he, it's just like a switch flips and might let down his guard maybe at the charity functions or in public, but you get him in the baseball park and he's an extremely focused individual, and it shows with what he's done in helping the Royals to the brink of a playoff berth here.
We could probably make a book on all the pro prospects that didn't make it. And Alex Gordon was very close to not making it after being sent down to Omaha, switching positions. How has he made it? What were the folks telling you about, besides being a hard worker, that why has he come out on the other side of this?
Well, because of that position change. I mean, that basically resurrected his career when he switched to left field, and he's an athletic left fielder. He's not your prototypical guy, and it's allowed him to kind of use his third base instincts and playing balls in the corner in left field and making the highlight plays you've seen time and again. It's his defense. I mean, I don't think his his bat has improved as well, but it's not like he's been hitting, 340 or 350 or anything like that. His average is about 270 or in that range. But I think it's his defense, his ability to make plays in left field that you don't see a lot of left fielders make, and obviously his overall leadership too. But I would go with that position change, and what he's done in left field is the main reason that he's still in the big leagues and will be for a long time.
And Brian, for all the Royal fans out there with a week to go, your thoughts on where they will end up? What will we be talking about on Sunday night when the regular season is over for the Royals, and how deep can they go if they do make it?
Yeah, I see them getting wild card spot at least. I think it's still going to be really tough to catch Detroit. Detroit's playing Minnesota and Chicago and Minnesota at home this week. I see it's only a game difference, but I still think Detroit will probably still win the division. The Royals will get one of the two wild cards. And it all depends on if they can, pitching matchups. They've got the pitching for a postseason run it's just going to depend on if they can score some runs. But that's not news to anybody who's followed the Royals. So, I don't think it really makes any difference what team they face. They're just going to have to find a way to manufacture runs, and hopefully their, starting rotation pitches at a very high level, and they can somehow win a series.
And Brian, I've lived in Lincoln college years, drove by it a lot. I never ever actually went to the Res. You ever been to the Res there in Lincoln?
Have I been to the what?
To the Res, where they had all the problems tailgating this last weekend.
Oh, no, I've not been there. No, I've not.
Well, I doubt it'll be quite like that for Illinois, and I know there's nobody in the world that loves late kickoffs like newspaper guys to get in for the deadline. So hopefully Nebraska takes care of business on Saturday night early on. Brian, we sure appreciate giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and hope to see you Saturday.
Yep, sounds great. Take care.
Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal star, basketball, football, baseball, got it all covered, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. By the way, in a side note, McNeese State is up to number 4 in the whatever they call it, 1A. I still call it 1A, FCS. Now, North Dakota State's number 1, Eastern Washington number 2, Coastal Carolina. That's where Joe Mowgli is, I believe. They're number 3, South Dakota State's 9. McNeese State is 4. Folks, if you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system, now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount. That means you can save up to $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile long T&L pivot. Get decades of reliability with the T&L pivot system. Visit the website today at TLIRR.com. You can learn everything you want to know. And if you want to know more, they are happy to talk to you at your local T&L dealer, or stop by the worldwide headquarters, give you a little tour, or just answer a question you want. It's all right there in Hastings, taking care of all of the United States and over 60 countries worldwide. And don't forget right now, their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount at T&L Irrigation. Kim Bushcutter's going to come in. We've got the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run coming up this weekend. I know that's always well attended. We'll give you some of the details when we come back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
At First National Bank, we believe customer interactions are based on relationships, not transactions. That's why we created First National Checking, to prove our commitment to you and the community. This is not a one-time offer, but a demonstration of our ongoing dedication to put customers first. No hidden fees, no surprises, no hoops to jump through. For honest banking with no strings attached, visit one of our offices today. First National Bank, member FDIC.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Carney.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just wait happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Every day, you struggle to attract new customers and keep the ones you have while keeping the business running and staying in a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, even wraps for your company vehicles. They can make sure you stand out at a fair or convention with a booth that will turn heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, across from the Kearney Chicken Coop, or visit KearneyCopycat.com. Copycat Printing, a better idea.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation, back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. You know, every week we have got our Cunningham's Fantasy Football Challenge, and I never know, these are all computer names, but Yu Yang Lu is the winner in week 3 of the Cunningham's Doug and Daddy Fantasy Football Challenge. Robbie Gold allowed him to win by 1 point over Big Dar. Big Dar, ugh. I wonder if that's Big Dar or if that's just like the town Dar, because it's great. So Robbie Gold getting some field goals and extra points there. Gets you the win by one of the $25 gift card to Cunningham's, as well as an entry in the Super Bowl party at the end of the year. So be sure to check out the group page on ESPN for your prize information. And folks, don't forget, this is week to week. So you can enter every week by going to ESPNSuperstation.com and clicking on the fantasy football banner. I'll tell you what, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, DeMarco Murray, Julio Jones, you should have won this thing. Jordy Nelson, yikes. There was some points being scored in fantasy football this week. Well, you know, a lot of things have been going on, and I'm not even sure that we actually brought this up when we were talking with Andy Hoffman last week when we had the Team Jack Foundation about it being Childhood Cancer Month, but we did bring up on a local scene, and sometimes I almost feel guilty because I know there are multiple families affected by cancer or whatever we may be talking about. And we talked about the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. It's coming up this Sunday, and Kim Bushcutter is in to talk about it, chairing this year's run, and it's coming up on Sunday, and it's good to see you.
Well, it's good to be here, Doug. Thanks for letting me talk a little bit about the 8th Annual Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. It is Sunday, September 28th at 5 p.m. In the afternoon at Yenny Park. So we're really excited about that. We're excited to have the run in the month of September because, you know, 14,000 families will hear those words, your child has cancer, in 1 month. And, you know, this is our 8th annual run, and the Stratton family heard those words back in 2002. And it's in Lizzie's honor that we hold this run as a fundraiser for Kearney Catholic. It supports all those Kearney Catholic activities that Lizzie loved so much. But more than that, we're sending a message of, showing gratitude and being joyful. And really, Lizzie's motto was carpe diem, which is seize the day. And she, through the battle that she went through,
And through all those difficult times that she faced it with grace and dignity, and took every opportunity she could to live her life to the fullest. And so that's what we're really asking people to do on September 28th, is to come out, come register, come to Yanny Park at 4 o'clock, register the day of the event, and you can run the 5K, you can walk the 5K, but we ask you to get out there and support this this 5K.
And it's a family fun activity. There's a one-mile fun run for the kids, so bring them out. And Kim, for those that knew her, and more importantly, for those that didn't, you know, I think everything right now reverts back to Jack Hoffman, 6, 7, 8 years old. Lizzie was a little bit older. She enjoyed running. Tell us a little bit about her for the folks that maybe didn't know her story.
Yep, she was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, and she was a freshman at Kearney Catholic High School, and she loved to go to football games. She loved to go to pep rallies. She made so many new friends. And, you know, there was a story that was shared that, you know, the PE class, you know, one day was doing their run. And of course, Lizzie had a pass that she didn't have to do it. And she said, no, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it. And she did it. And it was just that kind of determination, that kind of strength that, you know, everyone around her just learned so much from her. And I think, you know, that's kind of the message we want to send with this 5K this year.
We're talking with Kim Bushcutter here as we're towards the end of our Doug and Daddy show today about the Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run, 8th annual, this Sunday, Yanny Park. The run starts at 5 o'clock. And you mentioned it's kind of a cool way to wrap up a homecoming week for the Stars, because a lot of the kids are going to be involved. One of our favorite Stars, I hear David Squires, is going to make an appearance. But it's kind of it's a great week, and it's a great wrap-up on it. And there'll be a lot of fun this week, and this will be a little serious and a lot of fun on Sunday. So a great way to kind of wrap it up.
Yep, that's exactly right. So we've got a lot of Kearney Catholic kids coming to walk in it, and a lot of Kearney Catholic families volunteering in it. We will have an appearance with Mr. David Squires as he comes and MCs our event, so we're excited about that. He's a Kearney Catholic alum and a UNK Loper, and we also are fortunate we have about 6 student-athletes from UNK coming to volunteer as well, so we appreciate their help.
Well, the Lopers always do a great job. We got some for our ALS challenge that we had up here, and they're all over the place, and sometimes that gets overlooked as well. I know we were talking about an 0-3 football team earlier. You know, they're gonna be there. Don't worry about it. There is some of the other things that we do from time to time. And again, Kim, before we wrap it up here, just kind of re-emphasizing, you can sign up the day of the event. Pre-registration is closed. You can go to kearneycatholic.org for more information and see the registration form and all the info that you might need, that if you had a question and we didn't cover it. But Yanny Park, beautiful Sunday, supposed to be great weather. Tell me a little bit, again, just got to show up, and what do they need to do?
You show up at 4 o'clock at Yanny Park at the ERC building, register the day of the event, and be ready to run at 5 o'clock.
Could I just paddle around on one of the swans?
Well, you can come out and do whatever you want, Doug.
Anything else that you wanted to bring up? I know always want to thank sponsors, probably not individually, but overall, you got some great ones there.
Yeah, we got 18 sponsors, and yes, I would like to list every single one of them, but like you said, that would take too much time. But we've got 18 sponsors. We've got lots of donations from the community. It takes about 46 volunteers to make this happen, and so we appreciate everybody's effort in supporting the 8th annual Lizzie Run.
Is Randy going to do the 1 or the 5K?
You know, I've got him stationed at the finish line. He's got a specific job to do. He's going to be helping at the finish line and making sure we get things in order for our first, second, and third place medals.
All right, Kim. Well, thanks for stopping in and giving us an update, and hopefully it's a huge success on Sunday.
Well, thank you so much, Doug.
Kim Bushcutter with us. 8th annual Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. Elizabeth Stratton. Everybody called her Lizzie Stratton Memorial Run. 5 o'clock go time, and then the kids run and fun run is after that. And again, whether you're an avid exerciser or just want to be a part of this, you can come out to Yanny Park on Sunday and wrap it up. And that's going to wrap up our Doug and Daddy show here today. Just a couple of other things, is I always like to grab the list of stuff just in case I missed anything. We told you about Loper Volleyball at home tonight. There's a bunch of high school volleyball action that is going on as well. That includes Kearney traveling to state-rated North Platte. The Bulldogs are ranked 7th, and Kearney High will head out there. Top-ranked and undefeated Kearney Catholic will host Wood River. Also tonight, Hastings has a triangular with Creighton McCook. Adams Central will host St. Paul and Boone Central in a triangular. St. Cecilia's at Donovan Trumbull. For Grand Island, they travel to Columbus. Northwest is at Aurora in a Class B top 10 matchup. And Grand Island Central Catholic heads to Omaha to take on Concordia, who's an outstanding team, and Lincoln Lutheran as well. They're going to see some good competition there tonight. And that is just some of the Tri-Cities action that is going on. Tomorrow, it is our Husker Lunch. Sean Callahan will be speaking from 12 to 1 at Cunningham's. He'll join us at the end of the Doug and Daddy show as well. So we'll chat with Sean, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. We'll be talking high school football. Our Loper Link will be with Brady Bonzel of UNK Cross Country and Track. That's all coming up. Plus, later in the week, Tri-City Storm Hockey, Illinois football, Big Ten football. It's all later in the week. Thanks to Tony Harper, to Daryl Morris, Hastings and UNK football coaches, to Brian Rosen, the Lincoln Journal star, and Kim Bushcutter for all joining us. Don't forget, Royals baseball tonight, The Breeze, 94.5, 6:05 first pitch. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.